Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday. Welcome into Send In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a stack show for you guys today to kick off the week. We continue our college football and NFL previews. We start to get closer and closer, winding up our talk on the SEC. Today, we dive in to the Tennessee Volunteers, a team I am very high on for the upcoming season. Eric Ainge standing by, get his thoughts on the Volunteers. Also going to talk about the Green Bay Packers today, team that a lot of people are high on out of the NFC. We will dive in to Green Bay's outlook for the 2024 season. Also got about 11 games today on the Major League Baseball slate. We'll give out some best bets on the diamond. Lucy Burge will join us later on in the show as well for Model Making Money. And then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, go to twitch.tv/BetQL, or you can go to YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this show rolling. Go to the Glasser guest line as Glass is in session. Eric Ainge joins us, former Tennessee quarterback, host of the Eric Ainge Show as well, which you can catch 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And give a follow on X at EricAinge3 as well. Eric, let's start with this, man. You obviously played quarterback at Tennessee. You know what a proud program that is, and it feels like they finally have their guy now in Josh Heupel. They were searching for kind of the successor to Philip Fulmer. It took them a little bit, but Heupel's got things rolling right now in Knoxville. So let's just start there. Why do you think Josh Heupel has been the guy to have success and get the Volunteers rolling here over the last couple of years?
I think he's really good at taking what he has and then molding it around that. You know, some coaches, like, he is a system guy, right? He's a tempo guy. Some coaches will say, we're doing what we do no matter what we do it. Heupel is smart, and he says, well, we don't have this, so we need to change this. And we have this personnel, we need to do that. I mean, that first year he got here, I mean, how many, 30, 40 guys left in the portal? There was all that McDonald's, Chick-fil-A stuff going on. He had a tough get, and he ended up having a pretty good season. And when he has a quarterback, they can make plays, run the offense, and make plays. You know, Joe was fine, but when he gets quarterback, that can be a playmaker and make him right. Coordinators always say, if I screw it up, make me right. Then I think he's got a really good chance to have a good team this year.
Well, Eric, a lot of people feel like he does have that quarterback this year in Nico, and a lot of people there in Knoxville are excited about him. So what can you tell us about Nico so far? He's towards the top of the board to win the Heisman Trophy this year. A lot of people think that's his upside. What do you think of him at the quarterback position?
So I think here's why I love him, and it's kind of what I just said. In football, this is an old Brian Daboll, coach of the Giants, saying he was my coach for a year in the NFL. And he taught me it's the 60-40 rule. 60% of the time, the play's going to work. We're going to go up. They're going to line up in what we thought we did, run the ball. No one misses the block. It's great. But 40% of the time you snap the ball, something goes haywire. Something's wrong. A guard misses a block. A guy slips and falls. The defense that you wanted to run, go against, they audible. They're out of it now. 40% of the time. Joe Milton was great in that 60% where it went the way it was supposed to. But in the 40% where you just got to go be a baller, you just got to go make a play, make a guy miss, you know, do a little L2, R2, X, and make a play, that wasn't Joe's thing. Hendon Hooker was a playmaker. The last one we had before that, Josh Dobbs. He was great. He was a playmaker. When things went wrong, things didn't have to be bad. I think Nico is that guy. He's kind of like that AAU street baller, long and lean, played a lot of different sports. When things break down, I think Nico will still thrive. And to be a great quarterback, especially in this modern game, you have to be able to do that. But I think the biggest thing Nico's done right now is he's becoming more of a quarterback, more a student of the game. You saw that last year against Iowa. Iowa doesn't run a lot on defense. They blitzed a little bit. They play a lot of cover three. They kind of do what they do. When you get to the SEC and the game plans get out there, they're gonna try to do their best to slow him down. But if you can run the football, and he's willing to keep it with the receivers they have, I mean, there should be a lot of optimism for the offense for the Vols.
I mean, how good do you think they could be, Eric? 2 years ago with Hendon Hooker, as you mentioned, that team only scored less than 35 points one time. They were putting up 40, 50 points seemingly every single week. Do you think this offense has the potential to be explosive as that one was that we saw 2 years ago?
Well, I think last year what you saw, look, so Brew McCoy got injured against South Carolina. I mean, you had that ankle that twisted. It was nasty. But Brew's a guy that when you're lining up, when you're offense and you're putting a game plan together, or you're defense and you're putting a game plan together, you look out there to that X receiver, that big guy, and you say, do we have one guy that they can guard him? Or do we need to slide a linebacker over there? Do we need to bring a safety down to that side? If you have a true – it's like in the NFL. They always say true number one. If you have that, it changes everything for the defensive scheme. Brew was that guy. He got hurt. After he got hurt, Squirrel's a good slot guy. Squirrel White, you know, he's little and fast and tough. But the other guys that we had to come in there, they couldn't separate. Once teams decided, you know what, we're just going to play Tennessee man-to-man, load up the box, try to stop the run, and see, and our receivers couldn't separate. And Joe Milton got a lot of the flack for that. But when guys aren't open, it's pretty tough to complete balls. The receiving core we have right now, bringing in Chris Brazell from Tulane, that dude's like 6'5", making catches all over the place. I think he's going to be really good. Brew is out of his non-contact jersey. Squirrel, I mean, there's a bunch of other guys. And if Tennessee can run the football, I don't see why the receiving core can't be significantly better. What you don't want is a team that says, just load the box, play man, we're fine. You know, Alabama did that forever. Georgia did that forever. You have to get them saying, we can't guard the – we can't just play man-to-man because Brazell and Brew and Squirrel, they'll beat us, and Nico's accurate. We can't do that. We have to change it up, play zone, do all these different things. When you get coordinators in that, what do? Well, let's try this. That's when you got them.
So that Tennessee offense, I think a lot of people are expecting big things out of them. For Tennessee to get to where they want to go this season, Eric, a lot of people think that that defense has to be very good for the Vols this season. We were talking before the show started, and you said the best player on this team, without a question, is defensive end James Pierce Jr., likely to be a top 10, maybe even a top 5 pick in this year's upcoming NFL draft. He's going to be a stud. I think a lot of people have concerns, though, about the secondary on the back end. What do you see in this Tennessee defense this year?
Well, I think you start with James Pierce, and you start with the defensive line. I mean, I remember playing you could go back to the Tennessee, that Hendon Hooker team that went to Georgia in 2022 that was scoring all those points. Our offensive line couldn't block them. And I'm sorry, but there's no good offensive plays when the D-line is whipping your butt. Like, there's just not at any level. When the D-line's beating you with four and you can't do anything about it, good luck. You just go down the play sheet and say, try this one, because there's nothing to do. Tennessee's defensive line should be elite this year. I mean, they have several NFL players. You mentioned Pierce, top 5, top 10 pick. Joseph's on the other side. His arms hang to his knees. He's super athletic. Amari Thomas. I mean, there's 10 or 11. Rodney Gardner, our D-line coach, one of the best, you know, historically. You know, he's been around the SEC his whole life. He's talking about rotating 10 to 12 guys. So you're going to have fresh NFL-caliber players there. And if that's the case, then being a DB is not that hard. You keep your distance. You just got to make a tap. You know, the quarterback's going to go catch, fake, ball. He doesn't have time. Then being a DB is easy. You have to be physical, smart, and you got to be able to tackle. I think that's the biggest thing with our defensive backs last year and the year before that. Why, you know, people like you and me are sitting here saying, yeah, the DBs, they didn't tackle in the open field. I mean, they just had opportunity after opportunity to just make a play and force a punt, and they couldn't get off the field because they missed tackle. So if this DB group is better at tackling, and they brought in some good transfers, the McCoy kid from Oregon State, there's some more athleticism, speed in that defensive backfield. They got to prove it, though. Linebacker should be good. Arion Carter, I was at practice, middle linebacker, sophomore. Dylan Sampson ran a wheel route. And Dylan Sampson can fly. You know, I mean, he's a cheetah. And Arion Carter, now that he's finally healthy, we've never seen him healthy, even as a true freshman last year, ran with him stride for stride down the sideline. I mean, he's fast. And then Keenan Peely's like 50. I think he's actually 26. But he gets a sixth-year college football. So we're D-line, linebacker, our front seven should be really, really good. So those DBs, they don't have to be A's. They can be a B-minus group if they can tackle.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Eric, want to talk to you about the schedule, because a lot of people are going to look at that road game against Georgia. That's easily the toughest game on the schedule, probably going to be a loss for Tennessee. Outside of that, you look at the home game against Bama, the road game against Oklahoma, and that week two game against NC State, I think is going to be a really interesting game between the Wolfpack and the Vols. Outside of that Georgia game, which game do you look at on the schedule and think would be the toughest one for Tennessee?
I think going to Oklahoma in week four is going to be tough. I mean, Oklahoma, everyone's talking about, you know, I mean, they're, you get the they're not going to be good to they're a top 10 football team. And they got a good young quarterback that if he can take care of the football, and it's a road game. And Josh Heupel won't admit it publicly, but he can't wait to go to Oklahoma with his Tennessee Volunteers and win. Remember, he was the scapegoat. You know, they fired him because, you know, they weren't doing well enough. He got scapegoated there after being the national championship quarterback, and he'll do the right thing. You know, he'll say that's just, you know, the next game on the schedule, and it'll be fun. But I think the boys will be extra hyped for Heupel for that one. That's a tough one. The NC State game, though, you mentioned, they're good, and they got a scrappy old quarterback that's tough to tackle, and they're a top 25 team too. I think we'll learn a lot about Tennessee in week two in that night game in Charlotte.
I agree. I think it's going to be really good. Eric, before I let you go, what's your prediction for the Tennessee Volunteers this year?
15-0 in a national championship. Duh.
There you go.
I think Georgia's going to be hard. Alabama's going to be hard. Oklahoma's going to be hard. I like to play the toss-up game, boys. How many guaranteed wins do you have? How many guaranteed losses do you have? I think Tennessee has reached a point where there are no guaranteed losses. You used to look at a schedule and say, well, we can't win those three. No way. And then you just try to win the rest. I think Tennessee is not at that point. I think Tennessee could be a 12-0 team. They also, with all those toss-up games, could be a 7-5 team. My official prediction will be 10-2.
All right, very good. Former Tennessee quarterback Eric Ainge, also host of the Eric Ainge Show, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, joining us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at EricAinge3. Eric, really appreciate the time, man. Great meeting you. Enjoy the season.
All right, boys.
Really good stuff. Eric Ainge, we continue our preview of the Tennessee Volunteers here on Send It In. As you can see, the schedule right there on your screen. Again, we've been doing a bunch of these SEC previews. Some schedules have been more favorable than others. Tennessee's probably in the middle of the pack, right? They got probably the toughest game that anybody could play in college football this year, and that's a road game at Georgia. Probably going to lose that one. They do get Bama at home, though, which is big. They also get Florida at home. Remember, they've only won twice in the swamp in the last 50 years. So the fact that they get Florida at home is a big deal. And then Eric mentioned it, the road game at Oklahoma and that game week two against NC State as well. Guys, that week two game for Tennessee, if you're betting Tennessee to make the college football playoff, that is a monster game, right? Because now that we have 12 teams and there's going to be more opportunities for teams to get into the college football playoff without winning their conference championship, those out-of-conference games are going to be massive. And Tennessee and NC State are kind of two teams that are viewed in the same prism within their respective leagues. NC State's kind of looked as like a middle of the pack with potential upside to make it to the ACC title game in the ACC. Tennessee's kind of the same way in the SEC. So that is a big early game in week two. Right now, Vegas has the win total for Tennessee sitting at 9 games, a flat 9 games, not 9.5, not 8.5, right there at 9. The over is plus 110. Because it is at 9 wins and we're getting over plus 110 for the over, I think that's the bet for Tennessee. Again, they're going to lose the game at Georgia, right? So really, out of a 12-game season, you need Tennessee to win 10 of their 11 games. I think they're going to win all the other games. It really comes down to that NC State, Oklahoma, and Bama games. Those are the key. You guys know I'm a Bama grad. I don't think they're beating Tennessee in Knoxville. Bama-Tennessee is a nasty rivalry. Everybody talks about the Iron Bowl. They talk about Auburn and Alabama, and rightfully so. Bama and Tennessee is just as nasty. There's just as much hatred there. And when they beat Bama a couple years ago in Neyland, it was an unbelievable environment. I think Tennessee wins that game. I think they probably split Oklahoma and NC State. I think they probably win the NC State game, lose to Oklahoma. So I agree with Eric. I think they're 10-2 for the upcoming season. I would go over. And if you know what, if they lose another game, go 9-3, you push on your 9 wins bet. Factor getting it at plus 110, I think is good value there with Tennessee. Nico to win the Heisman this year is 15-1. I think he is a good bet as well. Josh Heupel's teams the past couple of years just put up points. As I mentioned, 2 years ago when Hendon Hooker was the quarterback there for Tennessee, they only scored less than 35 points one game the entire season. Tennessee's O-line, very good this year. Wide receiving group, the wide receiver room, not as much top-end talent as they had 2 years ago, but still a very capable group. Running backs are going to be solid, and Nico comfortable in that system. I think he's going to thrive. So 15-1 for Nico to win the Heisman, especially if Tennessee wins 10, maybe even 11 games this season. He's absolutely going to be in the conversation. My SEC championship game this year is Georgia and Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to the SEC championship game. Their offense is elite. It all comes down to the defense. Eric brought up a great point too. Yes, the secondary does have question marks. It does have concerns, but their front seven, their pass rush is so good that it doesn't really matter if you're a little bit suspect on the back end. If your D-line's going to get pressure on every single play, that's going to help out your defense. James Pierce Jr. Is a name to remember. He's probably going to be a top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. The one thing for Tennessee, I think that they can get to the SEC championship game this year. I think they could be a dangerous team potentially in the college football playoff. They're 30-1 to win the national championship. Here's what's going to be the difference for Tennessee. Last season, they were 8-0 in games where they scored 20 or more points. They were 1-4 in games where they scored less than 20 points. All these kind of college football teams that put up a ton of points that are a little bit finesse. Tennessee's not finesse. They can muck it up, but certainly the way they spread you out with their air raid and throw it all over the yard. Tennessee, if they want to get to the next level, they got to find ways to win ugly games. I don't think they're going to have to do much of that in the regular season, but if they want to make it far in the college football playoff, that's going to be the difference for Tennessee. I like them over 9 wins. I like them to make the college football playoff at plus 180, and I like Nico as a Heisman Trophy bet as well at 15-1. All right, let's talk some Green Bay Packers here on Send It In. There's a lot of people are liking the Green Bay Packers out of the NFC, right? San Francisco 49ers are, of course, the favorite. They made it to the NFC, or they won the NFC last year. They made it to the Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions return a ton of firepower. They're among the betting favorites as well. You got the Eagles and the Cowboys out of the NFC East. But the more and more we get closer to the start of the regular season, there's a lot of love around the Green Bay Packers. And I think it's very, very interesting, pun intended, with Jordan Love as their quarterback. But I can't get there with Green Bay. I think Jordan Love's a very good player. I just think we might be a little too quick to just kind of appoint him as like a top 10 quarterback, a top 5 quarterback. He had a great second half of the season. There's no denying that. He was great against Dallas in the playoffs. They should have beaten San Francisco in the playoffs as well. But Trevor Lawrence also had a really good second half of the season a couple years ago, and then he regressed last season. I know because it's a Green Bay Packers quarterback and they've gone from Favre to Rodgers and now Jordan Love, that we just all assume that he's going to continue and keep it going and going to be really, really good. And it's not saying that I'm anti-Jordan Love or I don't think he's going to be a really, really good player. I just need more time. And the way that right now the Green Bay Packers are priced in the futures market, they are expecting Jordan Love to look like the player that we saw in the second half of last season. They're 2-1 to win the NFC North. I think their odds should be a little bit higher. They're 16-1 to win the Super Bowl, plus 750 to win the NFC. I don't think their odds to win the NFC are terrible. I think 16-1 to win the Super Bowl is extremely low. Jordan Love's 14-1 to win the MVP. Again, there's so much hype around Love right now because of the way that he finished the season last year. I just think that the numbers that you're getting right now on him and on the Packers in the futures market are just too low for me to want to buy in. So I'm staying away from the Green Bay Packers this year. The win total over 9.5 wins is minus 145. Under 10.5 wins is minus 165. Odds makers are seeing the Packers as kind of a 10-win team. I see them probably as a 9-10, maybe an 11-win team, anywhere from 8 to 11 wins. But bottom line for me, I'm not betting on the Packers this season in the futures market. I want to see Jordan Love put it together for an entire season, and I want him to show us that he is indeed this guy that got a record-breaking contract that looked incredible at the second half of last season. I think he's very good. I'm a fan of Jordan Love. I'm not a fan of these prices, though, that we're getting on the Packers. All right, let's talk a little baseball now. Big League Peach here on Send It In. Real quick, B Mills, has PJ looked into any fun specialty type bets in college football? Something most people don't talk about very much. B Mills, there's nothing that comes to mind, but I will take a look at that and I'll let you know if I have anything here over the next week. But I do love those specialty bets, always fun. We obviously have bets, teams to make college football playoff, Heisman Trophy, win the division, all this stuff. Specialty bets, nothing's coming to mind though, so I'll see if I can find anything for you that I like. As for today's baseball slate, Cubs and Guardians tonight in Cleveland. Imanaga on the mound for the Cubs going up against Ben Lively. Chicago minus 120 on the money line. Cleveland is plus 100. Imanaga has kind of had a roller coaster season. He was ridiculous to start the year. Then the middle of the half, he kind of fell off a little bit, and now he has picked it back up again. The Cubs have won his last five games that he has started. There's a reason they're favored on the road tonight in Cleveland. I'll take the Cubs at minus 120. Cardinals and Reds tonight in Cincinnati. We got Sonny Gray going up against Andrew Abbott. Sonny Gray, home and road splits very drastic. Excellent at home, not so good on the road. 4.94 ERA on the road. He's already faced Cincinnati once this season. Threw 4 1/3 innings pitch, gave up 6 runs, 3 earned, and 7 hits. So Cincy's lineup mashed them pretty good. I'll take the Reds today at plus 110. Astros and Rays tonight in Tampa. Framber Valdez going up against Taj Bradley. Taj is another one of those pitchers that very drastic home and road splits. Taj Bradley at home, 2.04 ERA. On the road, it's over 5. He's at home tonight at the Trop. And in 9 starts this season, he's been very, very good. You got Framber Valdez going on the mound for the Astros on the other side. So I'll take the first 5 under in this game tonight between the Rays and the Astros. First 5 under 4 runs. Rangers and Red Sox tonight in Fenway. Pass for me in this game. Tyler Mahle is starting for the Rangers, only making his second start of the season. So nothing for me there. Royals and Twins tonight in Minnesota, starting a big series. Brady Singer going up against Pablo Lopez. I'll lean to the over in this game. Both Lopez and Singer have faced each other's team once this season. Both went 7 innings, both pitched extremely well. Total's a little bit high though tonight at 8.5, so I would lean towards the over. Dodgers and Brewers tonight in Milwaukee. Clayton Kershaw against Freddie Peralta. Brewers are a slight home dog at minus 105. I think there's good value on them tonight. I'll take Freddie Peralta and the Brew Crew at minus 105. Yanks and White Sox tonight in Chicago. Luis Gil going up against Kai Bush. I'm going first 5 under 4.5 runs in this game tonight. Don't think the White Sox are going to do much off of Gil. And then just the nature of baseball. You're in the dog days of summer. The Yankees are on the road playing against the White Sox. Maybe a little bit of a sluggish start going up against Kai Bush, who's making his second start for the White Sox. I'll go first 5 under 4.5 runs. Blue Jays and Angels tonight in Anaheim. We're going to continue betting Vladdy because he's batting 424 in August. He's on a ridiculous tear. He's been very good to us. Vladdy over 1.5 total bases tonight is minus 110. We're giving us Vladdy total bases at minus 110 again. Gotta bet that. Rockies and D-backs tonight is going to be a pass for me. Pirates and Padres, this is my favorite bet of the night. Pirates first 5 plus a half at minus 110. I think it's a brutal scheduling spot for the Padres, who are just in Miami. Now they have to travel back across the country to go to San Diego. Meanwhile, the Pirates were in LA playing the Dodgers. They just take the drive down the coast, play San Diego. So a little bit of a tough scheduling spot for the Padres. I think the Pirates get off to a good start. I'll take them first 5 plus a half, minus 110. And then, I mean, you talk about a good pitching matchup tonight. Chris Sale and Blake Snell in San Francisco. Braves and Giants with a total of 6.5. We had a couple of games last week with a total of 6. Both went over. Got another low total tonight at 6.5. Over would probably be my lean. No official play, though, in that game. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Lucy Burge here on a Monday talking some baseball. And Lucy, what are the 5-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Happy Monday. We have a 4-star play today from the BetQL model. It is Cardinals-Reds over 8.5 runs. The last 3 Cardinals games have gone over this total, and Reds games have gone over this total in 7 of their last 9 games. Andrew Abbott also starting tonight, and he did allow 6 runs in his last start. So the BetQL model loves Cardinals-Reds over 8.5 as a 4-star play today.
All right, very good. Lucy, what about yourself? Some of your best bets that you like for today?
Yes, I have some best bets. I have a K-prop and I have a Lucy long ball thrown in here as well. Bit of a mix, bit of a cosmic gumbo of bets today for Ember Valdez. Over 6.5 strikeouts against the Rays. He has gone over this in 2 of his last 3 starts with 10 in each of those 2. And he has hit this in 3 of his last 5 with another 10 strikeouts 5 starts ago. And the Rays are 7th in the league in highest team total strikeouts. So I think he can go over 6.5 tonight. Then Aaron Judge over 1.5 total bases against the White Sox. I'm sorry, Sean, but I think that this could feasibly happen. He has gone over this in 2 of his last 3 games. He's got 6 hits in those last 3 games. He's gone over this in 5 of his last 9 as well, with 10 hits in his last 7. Kai Bush starting for the White Sox tonight made his MLB debut last week, coming into this game with a 6.75 ERA after allowing a couple of earned runs in that, though 3 in that start. And then Cody Bellinger to hit a home run. He has a home run in his last 2 games, 4 in his last 8, for a total of 12, grand total of 12 home runs this season. But I like the spot for him to get his 13th because he'll be facing Ben Lively, against whom he is batting 1,000 with a home run and 2 singles. So I think Bellinger can hit a home run tonight as well.
Love it, Lucy. We got a fantastic pitching matchup tonight in San Francisco. Your guy, Chris Dale, going up against Blake Snell. Total is 6.5 tonight, Lucy. Obviously, great pitcher's park in San Francisco. 2 really good pitchers that are both on their game right now. Over or under 6.5 tonight if you had to make a play?
I would go under 6.5 because, as you said, this is a massive pitching matchup going on. My guy, Chris Sale, not only will I go under, I will go over 8.5 strikeouts for him. He has hit this in 5 of his last 7. He hits 9 a lot, so I think over 8.5 is feasible, and this will be a spectacular pitching matchup, I think. So I would go under on the total.
Very good. Lucy, your Red Sox, unfortunately, are slumping a little bit at the wrong time. They've lost 4 games in a row, just got swept by the Houston Astros. They're 3 games out of that final wild card in the American League. Do you still think there's time for the Red Sox to make the playoffs, or are you jumping ship on the Sox?
PJ, I would never jump ship. However, I am worried. The vibes are low. And after yesterday, just kind of got lower. Yesterday was a day that people, I think fans at the end of the season, will remember as a day that I hope changed things, where, you know, they go up from here is really what happened. Get swept by the Astros is never great. Dom Smith pitched in that game, which is never really a sign that things are going well, but that is, yeah, one of my favorite things. Some position players pitch, especially Dom Smith on the mound. So I hope that they look at what happened this weekend where they got swept by the Astros. Coming into that series, I thought they'll take 2 out of 3. Not even close. So I hope maybe they have a team meeting and they say, look, we still have a chance to make the playoffs. Let's get it done. But I'm worried.
All right. A lot of baseball left, Lucy. We got some time. Over 40 games left, so we'll see what happens. Lucy Burge, catch your bet slips and bat flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time. Looking forward to that. Lucy, always appreciate the time. We'll catch up again later on in the week.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis with spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. PJ's plays. B Mills, now this is an excellent special, my friend. Total SEC teams to win 10 or more games at 2.5. The over is plus 100. B Mills, I like that. Georgia, you know we're getting there. Texas, likely getting there. Then we got Bama, potentially. We got Ole Miss. We got Tennessee. We got Missouri. We got a bunch of different teams that you can make a case for. So that is a winner. I like that. I think we're getting 3, maybe 4 teams. So over 2.5 SEC teams to win double-digit games. Like that bet a lot. I also like Josh Bell tonight to get a base hit against the Colorado Rockies. He's my pick in going streaking. Bell 3-for-7 in his career against Cal Quantrill. He's on a 3-game hit streak, and man, ever since he got traded from the Marlins to the D-backs, Josh Bell is absolutely raking. So we will take him as our play in going streaking. Prop lock, rinse, and repeat, folks. We took this a couple times last week. It's hit for us every time. So we're going right back to the well. We'll take Vladdy over 1.5 total bases at minus 110. Dog of the day is going to be the Pirates first 5 money line plus 130 against the Padres. I like them plus 0.5 at minus 110. I also like them on the money line plus 130. Again, really tough scheduling spot for the Padres, who are in Miami this weekend. Now they got to travel back to San Diego. The Pirates were playing the Dodgers. Now they go right down the California coast to San Diego to play the Padres. So I like first five money line for the Pirates. And then my best bet is going to be Tennessee over 9 wins at plus 110 for this season. We had Eric Ainge on earlier today, gave us a lot of great stuff. He likes the Vols to go 10-2. I like him to go 10-2 as well. The fact that it's a flat 9 for Tennessee, too, on their win total, always got to love that. If they go 9-3, we push our bet. So I take the over at plus 110. Once again, our favorite plays for today, going streak, and we're taking Josh Bell to get a base hit on Cal Quantrill. Vladdy over 1.5 total bases. It's going to be our prop block. Pirates first five money line at plus 130 is our dog of the day. Tennessee over 9 wins this season will be our best bet. Thanks again to Eric Ainge, Lucy Birch for joining the show. You guys missed anything today? Check out the Send It In podcast. We got you covered. We'll see you tomorrow. Jacob Hester joins us. Talk LSU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.